It's like in the jungle. One king gets old. He starts getting sloppy, he starts stagnating. Then a young gorilla comes up and kills him and takes everything he owns. Look into my eyes, little man.
I'm gonna put him away early.
I'm gonna take your belt.
I'll put him still.
There is only one.
You know, Connor, I have to wonder, is there any sense of fatigue? You've had to think about Jose for so long now. Is it mentally draining?
I don't really think about Jose. I said it before a million times. I don't really think about the opponent. I focus on me. Of course, this has been different. It's been a long road to get here. Still not there yet, so when Jose touches down on American soil, I might breathe a little easier. But this is the job. This is my job.
How much of a letdown was that for you the last time when you couldn't fight him and you found out so close to the fight?
Everything happens for a reason. If anything, it gave me an opportunity to silence a lot of doubters who said I am being protected. A lot of people said I was protected from this particular type of opponent, the American wrestler. No way they're going to put him in with an American wrestler. He's a cash cow. They don't want to sacrifice the cash cow. And all that type of shit I was hearing for a long, long time. So, not only did they give me an American wrestler, they gave me on 2 weeks' notice when they knew and everyone knew that I had one of the toughest camps of my fighting career. So it was an opportunity to win and do that, and I'm happy with how it all shaped up. And if anything, it just comes full circle and makes this even bigger. Now, I am a champion. I am a two-way world champion in a previous organization. I am now a world champion in this organization. So I rightfully have world champion on my title. He has world champion on his title. Now we unify the belts. It worked out perfectly.
And what kind of confidence did that give you, knowing that you could be victorious while dealing with so much injury, and I'm hoping for this time that you're less injured?
I swear, Karen, when I came through that last camp and everything, and I came through on what I'd done and how I'd done it, I became bulletproof. I became invincible here in my body. Now, nothing can stop me. Not you control anything at me. There's nothing that can break my mindset. Nothing. I'm bulletproof.
Karen, I know you were ready to fight in July. Have you gathered any more intel, any more research on Jose in the time since then?
I don't need to gather any more intel, any more research. Panic wrestler. That's who I fight. Every time. And if they're not a wrestler, if they're not a panic wrestler, they will become a panic wrestler. And that's as simple as that.
So the game plan,
all of the same. We go in, we exchange, they panic. When a human panics, their first instinct is to grab, whether they train that way or not. When they get hit by me, they look to grab. They don't want it no more. So I'm facing a panic wrestler, like I always face.
I know that you've been busy getting ready for your fight. Surely you saw Ronda Rousey's loss a couple weeks ago. I wonder what you thought as you were watching that unfold. Certainly the two biggest stars in the sport, you see one of them unseated. Is it a wake-up call? Is it a reminder of what can happen? What were your emotions?
Well, the first thing I watch is the technical aspect of the contest. I watch Holly put on a good performance. She struck, she evaded. I watch Ronda fight a little bit emotionally invested. I'm sure she had many, many things going on. She's one of the hardest working fighters in the game, media-wise and work-wise. So she had a lot on her plate, and it showed in the contest. Holly came up in the dark, in the shadows. That can help a person. You ever seen Rocky III? Rocky was doing all ads and doing talk shows and doing this and doing that. Well, what's his name? Clubber Lang was coming up in the shadows, hungry. So, I felt maybe that was a reference to that fight. And I actually watched that the other day. I thought it was amusing because I kind of am similar to Rocky. I'm like Rocky then. I have it all. I do it all. But then I'm still training like Clubber. I'm still putting in that Clubber Lang work. Still grinding. Still hungry. So, I think I'm right in a nice little balance. But I think maybe Ronda just got distracted. There are many things. This is the fight game, but I didn't look at all that until after, later. During the contest, I looked at Holly, put on a phenomenal performance, did what she had to do, evade the clinch, create angles on an opponent pushing forward, and land some clean shots. Beautiful fight. This is the fight business. Ronda will be back. Holly will grow and rise, and welcome to the fight game.
In the time since then, has it added any responsibility to you, knowing that you are probably now the biggest star, now that she's been defeated, that you've got to put on a star performance?
Again, me. I focus on me. This is the fight game. You focus on yourself. They give me media obligation. I handle it. Sometimes it's tedious. But overall, it's business. I treat it as business. I get in, I do my job. But my main job and my main place of business is inside that octagon. And that is where I truly shine. You can sugarcoat it, or you can hide it, like a lot of them say, and say it's all to do with the other stuff. It's to do with the talk. It's to do with the media. When I get in there, I put it on. I put on a show. I come to fight. And this fight will be a performance. I'm not just going to beat Jose. I'm going to embarrass Jose in there.
You still enjoy fighting? Because I think about when you made your UFC debut. You're almost like a happy-go-lucky guy. You know, the 60 Gs, baby, and the pocket watch, and those fun moments. Now it feels like you're more serious when we talk to you, more reflective, more refined. Is this still fun to you, or is this business?
I absolutely love this business. You know, everything that goes along with it, it's all about in there. That's what I love the most. I almost say when I'm walking out of that octagon, I feel like I'm shackled. And I'm like freeing shackles off. I'm freeing the chains off of me as I make that walk. And when I get in there, I'm free. But you're damn right, I'm a lot more serious, because it's big, 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 big business. And big, big business, you've got to be serious. You've got to be switched on. So I'm switched on 100%, 24/7, all day, every day. I'm switched. My mind is on this.
Do you feel most relaxed or free, as you'd say, in the fight, in the octagon? Other than
there
outside?
Are no restrictions. There are no limits. There's no one telling me. There's no one trying to get something from me, or trying to make me do this, or make me do that, or send me here, or send me there, or stop me from going full. I'm free. I go in and do as I please. This is my time now. So it's a beautiful experience, and it's almost an out-of-body experience, and it becomes very, very addictive. So that's what you're seeing here. I'm addicted to that feeling, and I will do anything to get in there and get that feeling again.
But certainly you've wanted to become champion. So I'm curious, are you able to enjoy the moment? You know, I mean, it's something that you strive for all your life. You got the belt in the summertime. Have you been able to pause at all and enjoy the moment, or are you the type of person who just keeps looking for the next challenge?
You know, of course I'm enjoying the moment. The people around me are enjoying the moment. We're living good, we're eating good, we're dressing well, we're driving well. Things are good. I have been enjoying myself, but it's business as usual. Straight back in. There's still work to be done. I am 27 years of age, just turned.
How did growing up in the area you did grow up help you to prepare to be who you are today in your fighting style?
Yeah, where I grew up in Dublin was a tough neighborhood. You must learn how to protect yourself. You must learn how to defend yourself. There are avenues you can go where I come from. You can go one way and it's not a good way. Or you can go another way and focus on something and find the passion and focus on it. Thankfully, some went this way, but I decided I'd go this way. And that was it, you know. Maybe seeing other people's, where other people went and where I went. Or maybe seeing where other people went allowed me to say, I don't want to go that way, I'll go this way. Maybe that has helped shape me and who I am today.
It's great to be confident, obviously, but have you thought of the unthinkable of losing?
No.
Because we live in a world where Rousey lost in boxing, Klitschko lost recently.
No, I it doesn't enter. If it entered my head, I'd say it. But it doesn't enter my head. I say what enters my head, and what enters my head is victory. Clean work, a clean, dominating performance. Strike, evade, strike, press, finish. These are shots, and these are words, and these are things that are coming into my head. So that's what I'll say.
Are you doing anything different because the IV, you know, in your recut process and how much weight you have to cut yet?
Yeah, we've brought people in this time, so I'm prepared for that as well. Sure. I feel my weight is on point this time, a little bit better. You know, not that when you're juggling with injuries, you can't get the sessions you need to get to bring the weight down to where it needs to be. That's what I was dealing with back then for the Mendes fight, for the previous Aldo fight. So it was a little bit tougher, but I flowed in there and I was an animal in there. I could have went all day against that heavy pressure that Chad was supposed to put on me.
But now are you like heavier or lighter?
I'm about right, but my body is different, if that makes sense. I'm about right on the scales, but my body is different. I'm a little bit leaner. Everything's on perfect.
How are you preparing differently with the IV in the back of your head?
Well, I've brought people in, people who specialize in their craft. So, people who have been around the fight game.
During that Chad Mendes fight, when you were on your feet, in between rounds, you're laughing, you're enjoying yourself, going back to enjoying the moment. Do you think that that's one of the biggest advantages that you have, is that when you get in the octagon, you don't bring all that pressure that you put on yourself with you?
If anything, I leave it all behind. I leave it all behind in there. I know it's 25 long minutes. Beautiful long minutes. And I want them even longer. I don't even want a bell. I don't want a minute rest in between the five. I just want to keep going. So, and I can keep going.
One of the biggest comparisons between you and Ronda, that confidence that both of you guys have, that unwavering confidence. Is there anything to take away from what happened to her in Australia? Anything you kind of take away and learn from that?
You can learn from absolutely everything. You can learn from this today. You can learn from everything. So if I was to take away something from maybe Rhonda, is maybe just push everything away. You can't. I know there was problems. There was meant to be problems. I can't really see her situation. I don't know her situation. From looking from where I was at, I could see that maybe she'd done a little bit too much on the media side. That coupled with personal life that I don't know about, maybe could have hampered her training a little bit. Maybe could have hampered her mind. And then the particular style of opponent in Holly, it all kind of combined into making her a little bit too emotionally invested. So it's important just to still the mind, calm it, make everything smaller than it is. But that's maybe what I would take from that.
Curious on the Ultimate Fighter, you know, as a coach, you talk to them about not being able to really hold their hands. They needed to come to you and already be complete in who they are, and that you know it's a team effort, but it's a personal approach as well. And I'm curious, you know, after coaching, did that even solidify more things in your own mind? You know, since you did take these guys under mm-hmm. your wing, and obviously you had your good friend Artem there, but you know, your team to date has been quite successful. So, you know, what did that solidify for you?
Yes, I definitely learned a lot about the game. Although I was on the sideline with it, I learned a lot about everything because I was forced to look at a different style of opponent, and then I was forced to look at two styles of opponent and then figure out how one style could beat the other style or the best way. And that put my mind on the game again. It kept my mind on the job, which was a beautiful thing. And then you're seeing emotional sides of it as well, and what way. I learned a lot on the show.
Because you got to also help sort of matchmake in a way when you had to choose the fights.
Matchmake, yeah. See what way. You keep an eye on how the opponent is dealing with the pressure, and then how your guy is dealing with it, and your mind is just constantly on it, and that's a good thing. So I enjoyed the experience. I went in and I coached them the way I was coached. I tried to give my philosophies to it. They all came in, like I said, banged up. Everyone, you have to fight to get into the house. Everyone's walking in like this, face out here, and then they got to fight in a week or 2 weeks. You can't push them and kill them. You got to baby, not baby, you got to keep them fresh and sharp, and that's the way we approach it, and that's the way I approach it, and it came good.
Well, there was an interesting article that your coach, Sean Kavanaugh, wrote where he said, you know, he's seen the effect that you have had on the UFC in general. People now posting pictures of doing capoeira and talking about flowing and talking about movement. And, you know, he said something to the effect of, you know, makes him smile because he knows he's, you've had an effect on that. Do you see that? Do you see
Everywhere I look, I just see a watered-down version of me. I just see a lesser version of me. So that's why I can't fear no one here. I can't, like, look at the roster and be like, oh, this guy, you know. I just see the worst versions of me. So I can be afraid of someone that's of a worse version than me. I feel I'm here, and I'm changing it.
Uriah kind of made fun of you, turning you into a Cali boy, trying to get you flip-flops when you're dressed well. But certainly you did choose to come here and finish your camp. Why come to L.A.? Why come to Cali?
I came for a week. Yeah. I'm here 3 days.
Yeah.
That's not going nuts. I was in Ireland for this, yeah. Like, preparing my beautiful home country. Had a great couple of months back home. Great training. Always the best training. The reason I'm here is because we got to do media.
Yeah.
So I came here a couple of days early, enjoyed that little beach weather. Yeah. Vitamin D is lacking in my home country at this time of year, so we came out and got a little bit of that. And then we're here. Handle this, handle the Jimmy Kimmel show, whatever else they got going. Then I'm going to drive to Vegas on fight week. No airport, no flight. A nice 4-hour drive with the open road and my visions. Go to fight week. Make weight, handle more responsibilities, and then it's fun, then it's freedom, then it's perform.
I'm curious how you feel now that everything played out with TJ. You know, we talked so much on the show about the snake in the grass situation, and you proved to be correct to a degree with your assessment of the situation. So, you know, what do you make of that, and do you feel that that was something he was quite sensitive to while you were filming the show? Did you know really what was going on?
I've said it before again, when you tell a man the truth, you can... They react to the truth. Everyone reacts. When you tell someone the truth, they react to it. So I told them the truth. I told Uriah the truth. I told his team the truth. And they all reacted to it because they knew. They knew this was going to happen. So I called it. I saw it and I called it like I do all the time. If I see it, I'm going to let you know.
Do you ever regret anything you say?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I regret saying things, you know, say, why did I say that stupid shit? Or, but then, I don't care about it now as well. Because then, if you start thinking about, there's so many interviews and so many cameras and so many times I've done this, that I just let it flow. And whatever it is, I say, if I regret it, I regret it. It is what it is, but I certainly wouldn't regret something like that, like speaking the truth. It's the truth, it's the truth, it's the truth, so... Can't regret speaking the truth. Can't apologize for that.
I asked
you know, because sometimes you say things that could be perceived as sexist, like he's like a girl, or I love him like my bitch. You know?
Yeah.
Is it fair? Everything's fair, like a war.
Yeah, you know, if that has maybe offended you, then I sincerely apologize. But in you know. Maybe things like that, if I look back and if I was to sit there with my mother or by my side or my sisters, I'd be like, oh, you know, but it's different up there and in the heat of the moment. You know, you might say some things, but again, all you gotta do is look at the women, they're hitting harder than the men now, so maybe I should stop saying that. But I do love them. I do love them. And a bitch is a dog, right? I mean, I could save myself there.
Where did you get your sense of humor from?
I don't know. I'm just speaking, dog. I don't know. Maybe my mother or father. I don't know.
You know, I asked Gunnar before you got here about your relationship because your energy seemed to be quite different, and I asked if he was a calming effect on you, and he said yes, and you kind of are an uplifting effect on him. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's probably as accurate as it would get.
Yeah.
I bring him up a little bit when he needs, you know, I feel sometimes he can be just in a state of nothing, almost, complete stillness of the mind, sometimes you gotta wake it up,
yeah.
And then sometimes I'm a little too, my mind is moving 100 miles an hour,
yeah.
So it's a perfect yin and yang balance we have, and the train has been phenomenal, myself, coming out of Ireland, we've been together, we've lived together in Dublin. To the gym, home, everything has been perfect. We are all in a solid state mentally and physically. This will be three phenomenal performances, July 11th and July 12th.
Connor,
or December 11th, December 12th. Sorry.
You were cage side in Dublin for Cajal's fight. I know that was tough for you. Mm. And then his decision to walk away. Can you talk about your emotions of seeing the fight and then him deciding to call it quits?
Yeah, Cajal is an absolute warrior, man. The guy comes to fight every time. And to look at his career and look where he came and what he done and how he done it, I have nothing but respect for him. I'm watching him deal it over the years and watching him enter the gym with no experience whatsoever and seeing his confidence and then seeing his never say die attitude in the fight. How can you not be a fan of that? You know, some of the results didn't go his way. He's still more wins than losses. You know, but if it's not there, it's not there. It's time to move on. So it was sad to see that fight in Dublin, but the better man won that night, and that's the fight game. These things happen. Cajal is a smart man. He's a good head on the shoulder, so he will be successful in whatever he decides to do, and I wish him well.
Do you see more depth in the division now? I know you talked before about cleaning it out, and if you are victorious next weekend that you may go up to lightweight. So featherweight, though, seems to be kind of popping right now. So I'm curious if you think you would stay, or you still have eyes on moving up?
Featherweight's popping because I'm in here popping. If I go to 155, guess what? All of a sudden, 155 is popping. I might bless them with some big numbers as well in the future. But we'll see how the weekend plays out. Yeah. We'll see who can, if a new face can climb, or who positions himself in number two. We'll see. But I do feel I would like that lightweight. But after this fight, I will see it and I will watch the lightweight title fight, and then I will make my claim for that fight next. I would like to go this fight, lightweight fight, and then decide what contenders are there in the lightweight division and the featherweight division, and then make the decision.
Is there any part of you that kind of wants Cerrone to beat Rafael Dos Anjos, since you and Cerrone have already kind of verbally mixed it up a little, and that's more of a fun fight for you?
I think the brass want that, but you know, they said to me that if Cerrone wins, then they would do the lightweight fight. We would do the lightweight title fight. And then I'm like, because Dos Anjos wouldn't bring a number, so it wouldn't be as big with Dos Anjos. But really, the fight will decide what happens. If it's a war, if it's a great fight, then all of a sudden Dos Anjos' stock rises, and then I'm sure he's going to call me out, and then it's there. So I feel it's almost set in stone. KO Jose and KO whoever holds that lightweight belt, and within the next two fights I will be a two-weight world champion once again, but this time inside the UFC.
So Aldo was talking a lot about the drugging test. You know, he was asking for you to get more tested. Can you talk a little bit about it? How many tests have you done?
I've done about 8 overall. I got tested 2 days ago. They came to my door at 6 in the morning. It was still dark out over here in California, and they dragged me out of bed, blood, urine. But I tell you, it's funny, I'm saying more and more. It's almost like he's got to say, hey, look, I'm doing it. They're posing with a picture. Look, I done it. I told you I'd do it because of the fiasco that happened the last time, where they called the police and got the guy that came to take the test arrested and threw the piss test down the toilet and all this. It's like they're saying, oh, we've done it this time. Where's your one now? Well, I done it when we were supposed to do it on the original. Before, I done it with no complaint. I don't need to post anything about it. Or say anything about it. I get in and do it. But even still, I think it's a flawed system, if I'm being honest. The UFC are taking great, great steps to clean the sport. And it's phenomenal what they're doing. But still, it's a flawed system. The Irish Sports Council were hired by USADA to come and test me. So that's Irish people are coming to test me, the Irish Sports Council. So if they're coming to test me, then the same people who are testing Jose are the Brazilian Commission. The same people who are asking for selfies, who train in the gym, who will look the other way when the piss test gets flung over the shoulder. It's still a flawed system, I feel. But the steps are there. So
what can you do to the system to be more fair for everyone?
I mean, I feel somebody from outside the nation would have to come. I feel you'd have to send an American from USADA or wherever USADA is based to go to that country and do it themselves. You can't hire in a, you know, you can't hire in someone from over there. There's already, I mean, performance enhancing drugs or steroids, you can walk into a chemist in Brazil and pick that up. It's part of culture, and that's not, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying, you know, that's just the way they are. That's just the way life is over there. It's you can walk into a chemist and say, you know what, I'd like a little bit more on that. And the chemist says, oh yeah, we've got just what you need for that, and give you something just like that, legal. So it's not looked down upon. It's just the way of life over there. So you can't hire in a Brazilian commission to come and do that and expect it to be done, or expect, you know, I still just think it's a flawed system, but I don't care. I got tested a million times, about 9 times overall I've been tested, 8-9 times, I'd say.
Do you have concern?
I got tested 2 days ago at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Do you have concern about Aldo and the test?
Not concerns, you know, again, I don't care. You can't put them on the chin, and that's what I'm going for, the chin.
But talking about the Brazilians, I know that you love Brazil. Last time that I was,
you know,
there.
I love it. You know I love Brazil, and you know Brazil loves me. I tell you that every time, but you know Brazil loves me.
So what do you expect for fight night? You know the fans and everything.
I think it's gonna be an electric atmosphere. I feel the Brazilians will come out to support. They're gonna be swallowed by the Irish, though. It's gonna be a green Christmas in Las Vegas, that's for sure.
Any of your past fights that I've seen that anyone attacks the leg with leg kicks, the way Jose Aldo's bodies are trying to do to you, do you check kicks? Like, what's your stuff? You kind of like, you do have your front foot planted a lot of times. Mm. How do you defend it?
Maybe it's deceptive. Maybe I'm giving them the front foot. Maybe I want them to kick it. Maybe I've got tricks up my sleeve. You ain't seen yet. There's no one attack that. But I'm prepared. I prepare and tell you, I'm ready for this fight.
Connor, you have some of the shortest fight time in your division. What percentage would you say that we haven't seen of your game yet?
Every time I get better, that's it. I'm better now. I'm better than the last one. I'm way better than the one before. I'm way, way better than the one before. So every time you're going to see something different, you're going to see it better, more focused, more experienced. Fire in there.
You're undefeated in the UFC, but your win streak goes back even further, 14 fights. What about that last loss kind of empowered you to go on the streak you're on currently?
Like I said, wins, losses, you learn from them. You learn from them all. You learn a hell of a lot from defeat. You learn where you were at in your mental state. You learn where you were at in your preparation. You learn where your mind was at and how not to be there, or how to maybe be there but react differently. So I have been in this game a long, long time, in the fight game, not just MMA. I have won many, many fights, and I have lost many, many fights, but I have grown through that, and it has shaped me into the man I am today.
You posted on Instagram the financials of your last 6 months and how successful you've been.
It's been a good year for the company. It's been a damn good year for the company.
Well, can you speak to your motivations about releasing that information, because it's not something that all fighters do?
Because it's not something that all fighters bring. Not all fighters can bring them. You know what I mean? A lot of them don't even bring six figures a gate. So I'm just stating my numbers. I love my numbers. And my numbers love me.
Do you want to set yourself ahead of the pack from other people? Do you want fighters to follow suit?
I am already ahead of the pack. There's the numbers don't lie. I am ahead of the pack. It is a phone.
How much bigger will the UFC be with Conor McGregor as an undisputed champion?
I'm going to continue to grow this company. Continue to bring in these big, big numbers until we hit them $500 million revenues in one show. That's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to bring in $500 million in money to this company per show, similar to the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. I'm looking to do that, and I'm 27 years of age. I'm not 38, 39. I have a long way to go in this game, and I'm hungry. I'm hungrier than a motherfucker, and I'm only getting better.
So, if you're right, if you were asking for any business advice off camera after you gave him that speech or in the back room about, you know, the numbers.
You're right, a good man. He can take it and he can give it. We had a good relationship on the show. I enjoyed the experience with Uriah. I wish him well in his career. We'll see how he goes. Are we still hoping and praying for a big fight down the line? I might just hire him.
It's hard not to like him, right?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Happy go lucky guy. I like Uriah.
So Aldo just completed 10 years without losing, and when you go to the bets, you know you're the favorite, he is the underdog. Do you think this puts him in a weird position for himself or his mind or something like that? And how does it feel for you as well?
Somewhere way back I said, by the time this fight rolls around, I will be the favorite and he will be the underdog. I said that somewhere way, way back. You want to dig out archive footage or something. I said that I predicted that I would be the favorite going into this fight because I'm the favorite here. And that's it. When you're the favorite here, the universe shapes itself and you are the favorite. I'm entering this contest heavily favored in my mind. So, and he is entering this contest as a big underdog in his mind. And that's why you're seeing what you're seeing on the lines.
Do you have anything planned for a celebration?
I'm gonna enjoy the victory, raise the gold, solidify my place as number one, hit the Vegas nights, head home for a beautiful Christmas with my family and the people in my life, the people close to me. And I'm gonna sit patiently and see what the fuck they've got to say now.
Tommy, you talk about being better and how much of that feels, you know, comes from being healthy.
Movement is medication. Exercise is a beautiful thing for the mind. It puts you somewhere where you need to be. So, yeah, the training sessions I've been getting in have been phenomenal. My body is responding to that, and my mind is responding to that.
Can you just talk about your style, because you talked to David, your guy from the suit, you know?
Talk to him? I'm meeting him today. Where is he at? Is he here?
No. We didn't, because we did a report about you and
where, in Brazil?
Yeah.
Me that. I told you they love me in Brazil. They love me the style and everything. I bet you they've been wearing Dinky Bows on the beach. They've been wearing everything.
It was like half an hour show.
That's brilliant. When it's all said and done, and the nations can be at peace again, I look forward to heading over to Brazil and enjoying the beautiful weather, the beautiful people. They're good people, the Brazilians. Good martial artists, solid, solid fighters. I respect Brazil as a nation. This right now is business. Me and Jose have business to handle. When it's all said and done, there will be peace.
Maybe we can go to La Boliam and train there.
Maybe. Maybe I can educate them a little bit. Well, and then take some education myself.
But can you talk about your style and
David
and
First question? Yeah, I like nice things. I like good materials. I like the feel of things. I like how it feels on my body. So, suits are fun for me. I don't get to wear them too often. But when I get a chance to wear them, I wear them. So David has been supplying me suits out here with really good materials. Really good fabric, really good fit. It's like a fun little hobby of mine to kind of go and play with this and enjoy that side of things and just have fun.
Connor, kind of a silly detail, but have you had any conversations with the UFC about who wears what on fight night?
It's more of a Reebok thing right now, and we have decided we're both in the championship colors, but they're varied. Both of them are varied a little bit, I believe. But they sent over a style of my shorts and I absolutely love them. The shorts I'm going to be wearing on fight night are unbelievable. The colour of them. I'm really, really happy with what I'm wearing.
Connor, you know, I'm curious, where does it stand? That last weigh-in was something spectacular. And I it was probably the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in a weigh-in. So for you, what was that moment really like when you looked out and saw all those people there and they were there for you? I mean, how did you even process that moment?
It was absolutely insane, and one of the regrets I have is I was somewhere in my head making weight. You know what I mean? I didn't get to fully embrace it. It was only when I got back and I started to rehydrate, I was like, I should have taken my time a little bit up there. I should have just soaked it in a little bit. That's why I'm coming into this one. I'm going to soak this one up a little bit more and enjoy this one a bit more.
Because there is that amazing picture shot behind you. You know, where
it's like something in the Colosseum or something, the Roman gladiator days. That's history right there, that wing, you know. The people came out and everyone that was there enjoyed that spectacle. There was like beach volleyballs getting banged around. The people were enjoying the Vegas atmosphere. And it was intense. And it's going to be intense again December 12th or 11th.
Where else do you put affirmations? Because it looks like you have the greatest of all time on your water.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
The goat. Every day, this is my second bottle. So my water is calculated right now. I drink a certain amount every day. And my beautiful girlfriend, Dee, she writes stuff on them every day for me. So this today is the goat, the greatest of all time. Bottle number one said pay-per-view king. I don't know what bottle number three is saying, but it's good, you know. This is a tough time for many athletes, many fighters, making weight, bringing the weight down. It's a time of sacrifice. It's a time of where willpower must be solid as a rock. Yeah. So these little messages and all is messages of encouragement to me. And they put me somewhere. They put me where I need to be.
Do you have anything? Sorry. Yeah.
So you have to keep her happy, so the messages are good.
Yeah, well, we are a perfect team.
Do you meditate or, you know, read Zen philosophy, that kind of thing? I mean, you're very philosophical in pretty much everything that
comes out of your mouth. I don't know, I'm just living my life. I'm just speaking it as I see it.
Yeah, why don't we take a quick more...
I think it was a lot of fun. That's a big man, 6'9", 400 pounds, and I still folded him up.
It looked like you were hitting him with some shots.
I had to hit him with some shots. If he'd have fucking, he was hitting me, he was trying to hit me as well. People saying, oh, he was taking it easy. He tried to grab me and tried to pull my head off, and I defended, freed the head, and I was like, this motherfucker's so big. I have to start smacking him a few into the body. But it originally started because I just wanted, like, you ever see that famous Bruce Lee film with the what's the guy's name? Where they're like face off and it's like, let's take a cool picture like that. And then we squared as if we were gonna do it, and then all of a sudden he's bouncing and I'm bouncing. Next thing you know, we're having a full bare knuckle body fight, body shot fight.
So that wasn't planned.
No, I just kind of formed into it. But I sunk him good. I caught him good. Not even a mountain can take these shots from me.
Did he say anything to you afterwards?
He's a great guy, man. He's a cool guy. Like most of the Icelandics there, they are laid back, cool people. He was a cool man. It was great to have him around.
Have you seen the footage where he smashes a watermelon?
No,
he grabs a watermelon.
He's done a lot of crazy stuff. He's arm wrestled the world champion. He's boxed. He's a cool guy, man. He's a very good man.
Did Dana call you like, what the hell are you doing this farm with 6'9", dude?
I don't know. No, no call, no. Because they saw who won. That's why. There should have been a check. 12 million views that video got. There should have been a show money check at least.
One of the best pound-for-pound fighters.
Jose Aldo hasn't lost a fight in 10 years.
Featherweight champion of the world! Introducing the notorious one!
Conor McGregor!
Interim champion of the world!
He's fearless out there.
One king gets old, then a young gorilla comes up and kills him and takes everything he owns.
His respect for Jordy is over the top.
He's just a joke and a court jester to me, so all I do is laugh at him.
I sense fear.
It is all over!
His time is up.
I had to take over!
He's a dead man walking.
Biggest fight in the history of the UFC.